Blog Talk Radio.
Good Lord, just let me live till tomorrow. I'm gonna send you another prayer. This is Tate. Yeah, till tomorrow. This black man gonna send you another prayer. You know, sometimes I begin to wonder, what in the world am I doing over here? You don't love me no more, baby. I can't see the reason why. You don't love me no more, baby. Poor line, and can't see the reason why. You know, I never told you no story, if you don't understand that. And I never have told you a lie.
Everybody, welcome to the thirdmanin.com's Puck Chatter Radio. I am Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of the thirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com. Here on this Tuesday night, November the 19th, 2013, 8:02, here in Chicago. How are you doing, Superstar?
I am doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. You all recovered from the festivities over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, it was ugly. I actually felt okay on Sunday. I mean, a little tired, but other than that, I was feeling all right. How about you?
I did a little damage. I did a little damage, but I was all right. I mean, it's feeling crappy for other reasons that we're not going to recap. From what we were talking about before the show started, but we got a lot to talk about, and yes, I am fully aware that this is the second show that we've done in a row at we're actually recording during a Blackhawks game. This one, luckily, is on the road. Blackhawks are about to get ready to start. I got it on tonight. Pat and Eddie are doing the pregame here in Colorado. We'll probably just do, we'll do through the first period and try to get off of here, but. Unfortunately, tonight was the only night I could record. I'm headed out of town on Thursday, and then Wednesday night I will be in Rock Vegas, Rockford, Illinois, covering the Rockford Ice Hogs and the Abbotsford Heat. So tonight was pretty much tonight or it wasn't going to happen. So a lot to, it's kind of funny. Like we did the show last week on Thursday night. And, like, after we were done, like, you know, I went outside. I took Rutu for a walk, my dog Rutu for a walk. And, like, I came back inside. I did a couple of things. And, I started it. By this point, the Blackhawks game is over. And I went over to the TV, and I turned it on the DVR, and I started watching it. And as I was doing it, I was putting the show together to upload and post on the site. And as I'm doing it, Stan Bowman is, on one of the other TVs. I see Stan Bowman standing behind a podium, and I'm like, "What the hell's going on?" So I turn the sound up on that, and the Blackhawks reacquire the great Chris Versteeg. So if we would have just waited like another half hour to do the show, we could have had breaking analysis of the trade, but.
Yeah, we've never been known to be a show to break news.
Well, we wouldn't have broke, but we could have, instead it was like we did the show, And not only because of when we had to do it, and the fact that we just – that was just a show just to kind of get the thing up and running again, you know. And by the way, thank everybody for who actually did listen to the show last week. You know, we've been away for a while, and, you know, it's not like I actually promote these things. So we make the audience work for it, I guess. But a lot of people enough people listened that it was like, wow, I can't believe all those people listened. But so thanks for everybody for listening to that. And got some good feedback and some emails that maybe we'll get to here in a little bit. Hopefully, hopefully I won't be too long-winded. Yeah, I mean, it was funny because, I mean, what do you think of this whole Christopher Steele? Are you happy he's back? Like, I mean, the immediate reaction to me was funny because taking all the other parts out of it, and I'll analyze the other parts, but taking all the other parts out of it, I don't recall Chris Versteeg being a guy that a lot of fans shed a tear over leaving. And the instant reaction and analysis was it was going to be some great homecoming, like this guy that got away was coming back and how great it was. It was, I don't know, it was kind of a weird reaction. What was your, what were your thoughts on it?
I felt the same way as you. I thought, you know, I guess I kind of understand. He's a guy from your first Stanley Cup team, and I think that team is going to have a place in a lot of Blackhawks fans' hearts for a long time as being the first team to bring a cup back in so long. And, you know, and when it was dismantled pretty quickly after, you know, the summer, I thought the same thing as you with, you know, calm down, people. It's Christopher Steele. Everyone going crazy over, you know, social media, and, you know, big trade, you know, what a, you know, dude, it's Christopher Steele. I personally, if you could go back to 2010 and 2009, I have never liked Christopher Steele. I think he's one of those guys, yeah, occasionally he's going to show some flashy brilliance, score a really flashy goal. But if you watch him throughout the rest of the game, he, you know, gets lazy at times. He's, you know, takes dumb penalties. And you know, he's a third-line guy. And, you know, I never liked him. Now, I'll say this, for what you gave up and after what we talked about on the show that night, with those guys having a future, you know, with the Blackhawks, I'm not saying it was a bad trade. I just, you know, as long as people realize it's Christopher Steele, you didn't trade for Sidney Crosby. that was kind of my reaction to it. And, you know, we'll see, you know, so far, I don't know, I think the jury's still out, but, you know, we'll see what plays out here.
Before we get more into that, I should, being a good professional radio host, I should mention that also on tonight's show, we're going to talk about Adrian Acoin today officially announced his retirement. I believe that was talked about on the thirdmanin.com a month ago. But today, Adrian Acoin made official. He filed his paperwork. NHLPA sent out a press release. This is something that's been done for a while, but Adrian Acoin retired today. I kind of give you the full story behind that here in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. And then also, I hinted at it last week, but I didn't talk about it. I don't know if the cat's out of the bag or not. I haven't personally said anything about it yet. I figured I'd wait till this show right now. But the Blackhawks held a 1-goal-2 book and 17 seconds movie launch party last night, Monday night, at the Witt Hotel downtown Chicago at State and Lake. And I was in attendance. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, as well as some other things. But this Christopher Steak thing, I think the aspect of it that you started to get at there with what the Blackhawks gave up, you know, there's aspects of this deal that I think as a Blackhawk fan or as a follower, observer, as you know, a fan of the business of hockey, there are aspects of this deal that really have to, like, really kick your pulse. Number one is as a Blackhawk Blackhawk team follower, like the fact that the you know your organization, the organization that you root for, set out on, you know, whatever that was, November 14th, and analyze their team, you know, at you know a month and a half of the way through a season, and looked at their team's deficiency or their areas of need, and didn't wait until the end of December or the middle of January or the trade deadline at the end of February, early March, whenever it is this year. The fact that, that your general manager in your organization, because there's a lot of, you know, we could go into the whole Stan thing, but, you know, not to, to, you know, ridicule Stan, but I mean, there's a lot of hands in that cookie jar. But I mean, these are moves that will be attributed to Stan. So the fact that your general manager and your hockey operational staff went out and identified that area of need and filled it, you know, no matter what anybody would think of Chris Versteeg, is he an adequate guy, enough guy to fill in that hole on the third line? He is. That's got to excite you. You have a professional, you know, especially Blackhawks fan, you have a professional organization that you're following and that you're attaching those emotions to. And that's something to see. I mean, that's something that you haven't had here in Chicago for a very long time. Not to say that you haven't had it for the last few years. Obviously, two Stanley Cups would indicate that you do. But this in particular is a move that's really got to tighten your pants. You know, and I would think that as well, the thing that really, as someone who watches the organization very closely up and down the roster of 50 contracts and prospects that are unsigned and moving parts, it's really encouraging to see finally the organization take a real honest look at who they have under contract and identify guys that, you know what, he may make it somewhere, whether you're looking at Dylan Olsen or whether you're looking at Jimmy Hayes, and you can point at those guys and you could say, you know what, those guys may make it. Those guys may make it to the NHL, and they may be adequate NHL players, and they may end up having long, steady careers somewhere. But they don't fit here in our short-term plan or maybe even our long-term plan. So while these guys still have value, let's get a return on it. And that, to me, is the most exciting part of the deal. The most, I think that's where your value is in this deal. I really don't think your value is in Chris Versteeg, and I'll get into that in a second. But that's, to me, the fact that you've done that, and you've opened up spots for other guys, and you're going to create a bigger role for guys like Klaus Dahlbeck and Victor Svedberg. And, you know, Adam Klendening's role really doesn't change because he plays, you know, Dylan Olsen plays mostly the left side, and he was playing a lot. Well, he started the season with Klendening. He played some with Klendening, but, you know, Klendening's role doesn't really change, but maybe he gets more PK time because of this. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing for the success of the Ice Hogs in the win-loss column, but it'll help him, you know, and it'll help him develop his game. And as we've talked about over the past, you know, several months, you know, the organization's been pretty upfront this year about saying that, you know, it's not about whether the Ice Hogs win or lose. It's about developing our prospects. And it's a tough thing to swallow if you're a fan that goes to Ice Hogs games and you invest in that team. But it's also the harsh reality of what minor league hockey is at that level. So I think to me that's, you know, Jimmy Hayes is a guy that's, you know, he's a legitimate 6'5", 240, whatever he's running at. And, you know, I hesitated to say this, and you know, I've talked with, you know, people out there and scouts, and Jimmy Hayes, at a lot of times, he, you know, I referred to him quietly as Mega Skilly. Blackhawks fans remember Jack Skilly. You know, he was a guy that a lot of the time would revert to when Jack Skilly played in Rockford, which was in Norfolk, which was most of his tenure with the Blackhawks organization. There was like a track, like around the perimeter of the rink that Jack Skilly sort of paraded around, you know, and, you know, he didn't really, if he got the puck, he was going to scream up the right side. He was going to cut, you know, he was going to try to go wide around every defenseman, and it always ended up being a bad angle, low percentage shot that a goalie would easily stop. And Jimmy Hayes this year, it's sort of, he had sort of kind of fallen into that. And, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Jimmy Hayes going to center last year, but the reason why I wasn't a big fan of it was because it was something that, you know, somebody somewhere in the organization just decided all of a sudden on, you know, the first weekend of November, hey, you know, what if we try this Jimmy Hayes guy at center? You know, it's like you knew who he was. You know what he's not going to do. You know, he's not a power forward. He's not a guy that's gonna bowl through people and be physical on the wall and do all those things. You know, he's not that guy. So why are you pretending that he's that guy? And the fact that they had this idea that, and I think it was a crazy one, to make him a center iceman, but then they would get shy with it. And part of that too is that they had too many centers in the organization. And but the fact of the matter is that Jimmy Hayes was, I think he was expendable. I was surprised that they did it. Now Dylan Olsen, I was not surprised at all. But I will say this, and we talked about this last week. It's sort of, you know, what we did last week, even though the trade happened right after we stopped recording. It actually went really well as a companion the next day for the trade. People that listened, and I got some feedback on that, because while there were, I did read some feedback and people reacting and analyzing the trade, talking about Dylan Olsen. You know, and some of those people were, you know, had valid points, and others were, you know, not having valid points. The fact of the matter is that Dylan Olsen is a better prospect today. He was a better prospect on the day of that trade than he was at any point last year. And, you know, I mean, Dylan Olsen came in this year with a clean slate. You can go back on thethirdmanin.com and listen to the interview that I did with him in training camp out at Rockford after he had gotten cut from Blackhawks camp, and I talked to him out in Rockford, and you know, he had a good frame of mind. He had good goals. You know, we had talked about those things over the summer too. I mean, frankly, and you know, just putting it right out there, Dylan Olsen's father wrote his ticket out of town. With Dylan Olsen's father last year, all season long on Twitter, blasting the organization, blasting Ted Dent, blasting Steve Popst and the Ice Hogs coaching staff, ripping the Blackhawks organization, saying, you know, things like, you know, like, you know, that, you know, no development, that they were screwing up Dylan Olsen's career. The Blackhawks organization wasn't screwing up Dylan Olsen's career, and I like Dylan Olsen, and I do think he's going to be an NHL player. But they didn't screw it up. Dylan screwed it up. And I think maybe Dylan can look at that, look back at it honestly and think that or understand that. I don't know for sure that he does or not, but he definitely came in with a fresh, new attitude this year, and he was playing much, much better. He was in much better condition, which was an issue last year. And he just had a better head. I think he had bad ideas and thoughts being put into his head by, you know, his father, no doubt, and some other people around him, and, you know, probably, you know, for sure a couple of former Ice Hogs. And it didn't help him at all. So, I mean, Dylan Olsen, the fact that he got traded doesn't surprise me at all, but that's something that was, you know, it could have been, the ship could have been righted there, and a lot of that stuff could have been forgotten, aside from, you know, the Blackhawks clearly, when they went out and identified Victor Svedberg, they were clearly looking to push Dylan out. And, I mean, that's just the way I look at it. Because, they re-signed Roosevelt, Brookbank, they bring in Koska, Peckham, then they bring in Svedberg, they got Dahlbeck, who they liked. Now, nobody knew that Dahlbeck, it would be November 19th, and Dahlbeck would have already eclipsed all of his offensive markers from the entire 2012-13 season. I don't think anybody thought that. But the fact that it's happened is it may push Dylan out. And, you know, I mean, some guys just need to – they need to fail somewhere to go somewhere else you know, really get their career going. And I think that's what will happen with Dylan. I think by the end of the year he'll be a Panther, and I think probably starting next year he'll be an NHL player. But, you know, that's what happened with him here. As far as Chris Versteeg, as much as like I said before, that you like the deal because the Blackhawks, you know, they identified that was a problem, you know, that they needed a versatile winger on the third line that could provide offense but also was responsible defensively, that fit into their offense, and that knew exactly what Joe Quenneville expected of a guy on that line. And obviously the Versteeg thing, the familiarity was a huge part of being able to make the deal in Stan Bowman's mind. And I understand all that. But at the same time, to me, it's a backwards move. You know, was Chris Versteeg a contributor on the 2010 Stanley Cup team? Yeah, he was. I mean, I wouldn't deny that. I mean, do I like his game? Did I like his game then? No. Do I like it now? No. I probably wouldn't be as it's not that I'm down on the deal, because again, the only thing I don't like about this deal is that it's Chris Versteeg. And a large part of that has nothing to do with that, oh, I didn't like, you know, Chris Versteeg before. It's that he's been on three teams since, and yeah, they were asking him to be a first and second line player in each, you know, well, not on the Flyers. In Florida and Toronto they were. But he failed in those roles. More importantly than anything else, he hasn't been able to stay healthy anywhere he's been. And that's huge. And that's why I wish that either they would have given Jeremy Morin a little bit more time. Because again, this team, it's one of the best in hockey, if not the best in hockey, on its own. Its biggest issue right now wasn't going to be the third line right winger. Its biggest issues right now are what happens if Corey Crawford gets injured. That's your biggest issue. And for everybody that's praising Stan Bowman about the Chris Versteeg deal and everything else, I mean, why don't we take a look at the Hobby Boulin thing? Because, I mean, Stan, you know, Stan doesn't only make great moves, and then the bad ones, you're just like, oh, well, you know, that's not Stan's fault. No, that's Stan's fault. I mean, who brings in a 40-year-old goaltender who's had injury issues for 3 years, who's never had a back, or even longer than 3 years, who's never been a backup anywhere he's been, unless you want to call, I mean, he was so injured in Edmonton that they just couldn't count on him, so Devin Dubnyk became this, you know, the de facto starter, you know, for the Oilers. But Hobby Boulin just wasn't healthy. By the end of the year, you're going to have a 41-year-old backup goalie who has chronic groin issues, who hasn't stayed healthy since the mid-2000s, you know. So, like, what was the logic in that? And that's your biggest issue. And then bringing Chris Versteeg in, like the other aspect of that deal is everyone said, oh, but Chris Versteeg, they've got him at, look at the price that they've got him at. I don't give a shit about the price that they got him at. He's still Chris Versteeg.
Exactly. Well, and you know, you bring up the price, and I was going to ask you a question about that is, Dale Talon in Florida is picking up half the remaining contract for Chris Versteeg. Why? You know,
well, it's actually very simple. The reason why he did it is twofold. Number one, because the Blackhawks couldn't make the deal unless Dale took half the salary. So if Dale's in this situation, if people don't follow the Florida Panthers and understand, Florida is now under their, you know, 20th reign of new ownership in the past decade, right? So they have this new ownership group that's come in. The ownership group comes in and says, we're going to let the hockey people make the hockey decisions and we're not going to interfere. Dale comes out a couple of days later, says, we're confident in the coaching staff. And the next day he has to fire the entire coaching staff because the owner comes down and says, no. And it's actually the owner's son, I believe, who has got this new position of assistant director of hockey operations, a guy that's, has no hockey background whatsoever. I mean, Florida is helpless. I mean, they've got a lot of young talent, but as far as long term, they're going to be helpless because, you know, it's one thing, like, you know, I criticize or poke fun at the Blackhawks for having, you know, all these hands in the cookie jar, and you know, it's not like the Blackhawks coaching staff and hockey ops don't, you know, they hate each other or anything like that. I know it's sort of presented like that by, you know, whether he means it or not, or he thinks it or not, by, you know, guys like Sam Fels and the Committed Indian and all those other places. That's not how it is at all, but they definitely don't agree on a lot of things. And there's people in hockey ops that disagree on, it's just certain people have large voices and certain people have smaller voices, but I mean, but I think that the problem in Florida is that you have too many hands in the cookie jar and not a lot of those guys really know what they're talking about. So they're going to have, but the Dale is under the gun now to make changes. And Dale comes out and says, you know, because I, from what I understand, what happened with Kevin Dineen was the Panthers coach was that Dale put the cart before the horse a little bit by coming out and saying, we have, you know, he said the coaching staff was safe essentially. But then after he did that, players started coming to him. And I don't know this, but maybe you would imagine that it was the veterans, and Chris Versteeg would be one of the veterans on that team. And then Dale said, if guys aren't happy here, we're going to get rid of them, which is a reoccurring theme in Florida because, as everybody knows, that's how Nathan Horton ended up on the Boston Bruins. So the first guy he moves out of there was a guy who obviously wasn't happy there, wanted out, and Chicago is a perfect destination for Versteeg. And in order to make that deal happen for Chicago, Dale had to take half of that salary. And at the same time, the reason why there's two sides of that is because Dale's not going to stop it at Chris Versteeg. You know, he's gonna keep cutting salary. And the reality of today's salary cap world is he's got to reach the floor. I mean, he can't have, you know, 15 out of 23 contracts be entry levels. You just can't. You can't do it. I mean, unless they're all first round, you know, they're all number one draft pick, you know, but which they're not. But I mean, that's why it happened, and that's, you know, I think it's a part of the new world. Colorado's up 2-0, by the way. So we might be seeing the debut of Antti Raanta here any second now, right here live on Puck Chatter Radio. 7:39 left in the first period. But yeah, that's like, I think people make way too much of that, you know, and you know, again, we've talked about this many times. Dale was the architect, aside from Marian Hossa, of the core of the team that won the Stanley Cup and won a second Stanley Cup. But for whatever reason, people don't want to give him that credit. You know, they want to make him. It's like what we were just talking about before. By identifying players and prospects that you can determine either aren't going to make it or aren't on a path to make it in inside of a time frame that fits into your plan. Identifying those players and moving them out while they still have value. Dale Talon takes the hit. You know, general managers get far too much credit and far too much blame for their draft picks. General managers have input, certainly. And ultimately, it's, you know, they can veto it. But it's the directors of scouting that and their staff that are doing all the legwork. And ultimately, in a lot of situations, it's the director of scouting that's making all those picks. And in Chicago, Mark Kelly has a huge voice into who they draft. But if you want to blame Dale Talon for Kyle Beach, that's fine. But who kept Kyle Beach on that IceHogs roster for 3 years, letting him depreciate in value every single year without dealing him away? That happened under Stan Bowman's watch. So you know, it's cute to blame Dale for stuff. And there's a lot of things you can blame Dale for. But Stan Bowman, he should share in the blame or the fault for it's 3-0. We're missing a hell of a game.
The way you said it, it's how you can blame Stan for that.
And here comes Antti Raanta. 6:43 left in the first. Comes the fair-haired Finn. Watching, he's gonna make 41 saves, and there's gonna be a goaltender controversy tomorrow.
Yeah, in a 4-3 Hawk win.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, we should move along. But any other further thoughts on like It's not the worst deal in the world, obviously. Versteeg will be fine. I guess the bottom line is I just wish the Hawks would be moving forward instead of reverse. And that's what this deal, like the acquisition of Chris Versteeg is to me. It's moving in reverse. It's being too nostalgic. I mean, it's an easy move to make. It's a safe move to make when looking at it from a pure injury risks aside, pure hockey, you know, perspective, because he obviously, you know, everything everybody knows. He fits in. He knows the system. He knows, you know, the core guys. You know, they like him. You know, he's a dope. He does stupid crap. He'll do stupid crap off and on the ice. But they like him. So it works, but I just wish they would have they would move forward. They didn't need to go backwards and grab Christopher Stieg and bring him back. It's just, to me, it was, I don't, long term, I don't like the move. And in the meantime, you wonder, like, the Blackhawks had, you know, Dale had to take half of Versteeg's contract in order to make the deal work. Well, the Blackhawks also had to send an injured Brad Mills back to Rockford. no one will want to talk about that, but they did do that. That's the second time this year already that the Blackhawks have sent a guy back to Rockford who could not play immediately because he was injured. Here's news you can use. Speaking of guys that have a history of being injured, Adrian Acoin, as I mentioned before, announced his retirement today. Like I said, I wrote about this a month ago. Adrian Acoin, since the start of training camps, has been working with the Blackhawks and the Blackhawks defensemen and the prospects and the defenseman prospects in Rockford in a player development role. It's not full time. Basically how it went down was this. Adrian Acoin at some point realized that he wasn't going to come back and play. He probably wasn't going to come back and play this year. You know, again, he's 40 years old. He latched on with a Columbus Blue Jackets team after the lockout. He got on with that team. They were just looking for a veteran presence, a guy that can eat up some minutes and help fill out their roster. And I think Acoin has been preparing for this for a few years. And I think it finally, 40 years old, he was just at peace with it. As far as how the Blackhawks thing turned out, Acoin still, you know, has a home here. And after they left Columbus, they decided that they didn't want to go back to Phoenix. It's pure coincidence, I think. I don't think one has anything to do with the other, but it's a little funny that Adrian Acoin announces retirement just days after he sells his Scottsdale, Arizona home to Phoenix Coyote center Mike Ribeiro for the sum of $5.5 million. Not a bad price.
Nope.
A home that Acoin had built. So you know it didn't cost him $5.5 million to build. Cut Ribeiro a deal. But Acoin came back here to Chicago, and his oldest son, who I believe his name is Kyle, Adrian Acoin's oldest son, Kyle, he and Stan Bowman's oldest son, Will, play on the same team together in the Chicago Jets youth organization. Played most of their games out of Johnny's Ice House, or the two Johnny's Ice House facilities. So Stan Bowman and Adrian Acoin got to talking, and basically Adrian Acoin said that he wanted to spend more time with he's got five kids, four of them play hockey. And he wanted to spend more time with his kids. He wanted to coach his kids. He wanted, you know, he was ready to, you know, kind of start being a full-time father. And Stan Bowman had said to him that, that's cool. I definitely understand that. And, you know, we could probably work something out where you could, you could come in and be a developmental coach and help out our guys and sort of do it on your own schedule. Of course, that's how it'll start out. It may branch out into more than that, but Adrian Acoin is actually coaching that team, that Chicago Jets team out of Johnny's Ice House. He's a part-time coach. Brian Noonan, Blackhawks fans remember, is the coach of that team. And Adrian Acoin serves as an assistant. But Adrian Acoin sort of fills a role because Keith Carney, who is obviously a former Blackhawks defenseman and a developmental coach, he's also the Blackhawks West Coast scout, or one of them, pro scout. And he goes out west and he'll travel and catch up with some of the Blackhawks defenseman prospects out that way and up into Canada. So Adrian Acoin kind of fills a need here in the Midwest. And I know that Acoin catches Chicago Wolves games, you know, for whatever reason every now and then. So I don't know if he's doing actual scouting or if he's just networking. I don't know what the deal is there, but that's how that all went down. So for everybody who hates Adrian Acoin and you want to know how all this happened, that's how it happened. And he's kind of buddies with Sam Bowman now. So that's how all that went down. So that was a direct Stan Bowman hire. And yeah, I don't know if there's anything else to talk about on that. Yeah, I mean it's kind of funny because Adrian Acoin had a really good NHL career, like not a great NHL career, not you know, nowhere in the conversation of, you know, the best guys in his era, because he wasn't, but he had a really solid NHL career that was terrible, the run that he had here, just terrible, like everything that could go wrong went wrong during his time in Chicago. And I don't know, you know, I really don't know how many Blackhawks fans were actually that, you know, that hate Adrian Acoin, use a misappropriate, you know, word that's really not appropriate, but I mean they use the word, so I guess we'll use it. I wonder how many of them actually saw those games. I mean, they know the lore of Adrian Acoin being the captain and being a healthy scratch, but you forget the context. And I would encourage you to go back and read the article on thethirdmanin.com that I wrote about Adrian Acoin retiring and joining the Blackhawks staff, because I tell the story in there. I mean, that was crazy lunatic Dennis Savard, you know, like not having the faintest clue, even though he was an assistant coach for a number of years, not having the faintest clue what he was doing. Not having any idea what he was doing and deciding like, oh, I know how to turn this team around. I'll scratch my captain. Like, yeah, that's a really good idea.
And not even only Roots in the background thinks it's crazy.
Yeah, Roots, who's that crazy Dennis Savard? I mean, not only scratch his captain, but remove his captaincy for a game because he scratched him. I mean, I'm not trying to defend the Adrian Acoin that played here because he was injured and it was bad, but like that healthy scratch thing has taken on a life of its own, and the real story is what I wrote about in the Third Man In. Now, was Adrian Acoin great? No. But it was sort of a really misguided move by Dennis Savard to begin with. And then Dennis Savard made it even worse by coming out in the media and saying, you know, because, again, context is huge. Like, the Blackhawks were terrible. I mean, really, really bad under Trent Yawney that year. And then Savard takes the reins, and you know, it's a season that's completely lost. You know, it's like the Blackhawks were going to be bad no matter what Dennis Savard did. But Dennis Savard was the histrionics of what he was all about, and I don't know if he was trying to be like a Mike Keenan type coach, even though that's kind of ironic. and, you know, shake up the team and get people riled up and the fans behind him. It's like, whatever he was doing, whatever he was thinking, it was just completely misguided because he lost that group right away. I mean, Trent Yawney lost the group. They were reloaded with a bunch of new faces the next year, and Dennis Savard got a second chance. But that was a horrible, horrible year. A horrible year. And Dennis Savard was a big part of it. I mean, Adrian Aucoin was bad. He was always injured. You know, it was the black mark of his career. He's not a bad guy. And it's silly that, you know, people say some of the things they do about him. I don't know if we want to talk about any of the black, like, superstar. So, I took my niece to the Hawks game on Sunday night.
Oh, how did that go?
Well, you know, she's, her boyfriend is Jonathan Taves, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so she, you know, everything when we go is about Jonathan Taves. But, the story I was going to tell you, I want to tell you this before I forget. We'll get back into the Blackhawks discussion in just a second. So my niece turns to me, and she has no hockey etiquette whatsoever. Like, she turns to me while the puck is in play, right? And she goes, Uncle Kiss, are you going to cut your hair? Because my hair is flowing. It's looking all nice, you know, and it's like it's fully coiffed. Very smooth. I mean, it's very well conditioned, but it is long. And I'm going to cut it eventually. But she turns to me. She goes, Uncle Kiss, are you going to cut your hair? And I look at her. I go, my hair's not as long as yours. Are you going to cut your hair? And she just looks at me. She goes, I'm not a boy. she's in that phase where boys are completely repulsive to her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's just looking out for you, man.
Well, no, she's not, because she kept saying, she's like, where's Tommy Hawk? Where's Tommy Hawk? I'm like, we're not going to look for Tommy Hawk. I was like, there, he's over there in section 204. Go take a walk over there.
So what you're saying is the beer sales in section 309 went down dramatically on Sunday night.
That would be an accurate assessment. Blackhawks got smoked on Saturday night in Nashville. Joe Quenneville came out and said that the Blackhawks were very, very gracious. They were very gracious visitors to the Nashville Predators. The funny thing about that is the Predators played the night before. Friday night, the Predators played in Pittsburgh. Now, can you imagine this back-to-back? I mean, Nashville's an average team. I don't think anybody would argue that they're anything more than an average team, right? So on Friday night, they're in Pittsburgh. And then on Saturday night, they have a rested and waiting Chicago Blackhawks team. And the Hawks just don't take advantage of that at all. I mean, it wasn't Nikolai Abibulin's fault. I mean, it wasn't like the tone was set by, you know, two bad Abibulin goals, because, I mean, the team was just, sometimes you have to quantify the application of effort and whether a team was flat or not. I mean, some people don't like those terms being used when analyzing games, but I don't know how you get around it with that one. And Corey Crawford was terrible too. You know, when your goalies let in, you know, goals, I mean, it's deflating, and it kills the momentum of a team. It kills your confidence. It affects the way you carry the puck. It affects decisions you make in the defensive zone, the neutral zone especially. Neutral zone play is most important play. I mean, especially for the Blackhawks, probably more important than anything else is their neutral zone play. Whether they're playing well or playing bad, it's, you know. But then they come back on Sunday night and they spanked. The San Jose Sharks. I mean, I'll say this though. Well, first of all, before we get into that, Brandon Peary. Remember when, you know, we talked about on this show and I talked about on Hockey Night, it's like, just put the kid in the spot and just let him play. Like, live through the pains and live through the missed defensive assignments and a puck hopping over somebody's stick and Brandon not being able to turn and get back on the back check quick enough. Like, live through some of that stuff because, I mean, he can hang with those guys offensively. And he's been adequate so far defensively. But can you imagine, like, six goals now? Is it Sunday night?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it was a six goal. I mean, that's I guess I'm mildly surprised that he's gotten off to such a quick start like that. Anything else of note from Sunday night's game?
No. After watching that 5-hour marathon Bear game, the festivities on Saturday, it was pretty tough staying awake for that one.
Remember, like 3 months ago, when we had the idea that we were gonna do the doubleheader, go to the Bears Baltimore game, and then go to the Hawks Sharks game. Remember that crazy idea?
Thank God we passed on that.
One observation that I had just from watching, is it just me or is Jonathan Toews getting hit a lot this year?
He is.
He's getting hit. That would be something that concerns me. He's strong kid, tough kid, but he's getting hit a lot. I don't know how you you work around that. Like, whether he's just got to be – I mean, how do you tell Jonathan Toews to play differently, though? That's the thing. You can't tell him to, not play the way he does. But he's getting hit. Somebody may pull up the stats and say that, no, it's not any more than usual. But it does seem – hit stats are a funny thing anyway. So – they may or may not be an accurate portrayal of how often he's getting hit, but it sure does seem like he's getting hit a lot. Playoff amount of getting hit, almost.
Yeah, and, you got to remember, too, it's not even those hits that show up in the game sets. It's even just the little chips here and there. Course of the season, hopefully deep playoff run. Those are the ones that really come back to bite you too. Not even the, take a hit in the corner to, clear the puck up the wall or those sort of hits. It's every little, bump he's taking.
Yeah. Let's get into some listener emails here. So get this thing rolling along. Because I got to talk about this one goal book. And the launch party. This is from don't sign. Actually, it's from Chris. Hey, Chris. Given Hobby Bullen's problematic start and health issues, and given that most of us did see this coming, do you think the Hawks would have been better off keeping Carter Hutton over signing Hobby Bullen? Hutton might not have had fared much better, but he could have been more reliable, much cheaper option. He goes on to say, Hutton could have acted as sort of in a buffer role while Ranta put his time in at the AHL level. Your thoughts? So basically what he's saying is the Hawks should have kept Carter Hutton, and then, you know, it wouldn't have mattered how well Hutton did. He would have been cheaper. And whenever Ranta was ready at that point. I guess you'd have to ask Carter Hutton how he felt about that. It definitely seems through some of the comments that Carter Hutton made to the Chicago media over the last week that the Blackhawks had no interest. It wasn't even like he would have had the choice. But I don't know. I like Carter Hutton a lot, and he's a great guy, and I don't think there's a teammate that has ever disliked the guy. But I've never thought he's an NHL goalie. So that would not have been a move that I would have given a thumbs up to. You know, even in what you're saying. Because, again, like if, you know, you got to, the whole idea of the backup goalie in today's NHL is every goalie is one groin pull away, one bad stretch away from, you know, being up in the press box for 3 weeks. And 3 weeks of bad goaltending can really affect your playoff position. Like if you're the Blackhawks, I mean, it could give you a first round matchup that you don't really, you know, you'd rather not have. Or if you're, you know, a team that's in that 5, 6, 7 slot, it could make you on the outside looking in. I mean, that's why the backup goalie is so huge. I mean, it's so huge. So no, I wouldn't have, as much as I like Carter Hutton, I wouldn't have said yes to that. I wouldn't have signed Hobby Bullen, but I mean, I don't think it would have been that. I mean, I know that there wasn't a lot to choose from this off season, but you know, it wouldn't be hard to go to a goalie and say, hey, you know, we're the Chicago Blackhawks, and you know, I mean, again, I don't have it in front of me like who was available, but no, I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe
as a last resort, but Carter got signed right away. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say the only name that really jumped out at me, obviously, in the off season was Tim Thomas.
Who's, you know, I don't know about him staying healthy either. They weren't going to do that. The Blackhawks, that even if Stan Bowman wanted to do that, they wouldn't have done that. Crap. All right, I'm trying to get the email back up. That sucks. All right, email's done. Sorry about that. All right, we might as well move on and talk about this whole one goal thing. So, it would have been a week ago. I don't remember what the day it was. But I was contacted by the Blackhawks. And that's usually not a good thing. But it wasn't, you know, it was from their media staff. And about this event that they were going to hold on Monday night at the Witt Hotel downtown. And it was like, you know, it was an invitation for me and a plus one. And I was, you know, I thought about it and I was like, well, you know, I mean, I'll admit, superstar, there was only two ways this thing could, this, two ways or three ways that this thing was going to turn out. And I will admit to watching Lincoln three times over the weekend. Because this could have been my offing. But that thought did cross my mind. But seriously, I was like, well, if they're... I had no idea what, at the time, I had no idea what the whole thing was going to be about or what it was for. But basically, what it was kind of what I was expecting it to be, which was, I mean, really what it seemed like to me, I didn't know a lot of the people that were there. But it was basically, I guess, the people that are really active on social media. So there were a few Blackhawks like blogger type people there, like, and you know, fan blogger people. Like Forklift was there. Forklift walked in, and I was sure that we were going to, you know, like,
that was it.
I was sure they were going to gas the room. But Fork and Lady Fork walked in, and I don't really, there wasn't too many other people that I recognized, but I mean, when they started to do the presentation, they said, and it was obvious what it became at that point. Basically, what they were looking for was they were looking for a mobilization of the One Goal Two book launching. For people that don't know, the championship book, or the book commemorating the 2013 Blackhawks Stanley Cup championship, One Goal Two, became available on sale today, Tuesday, November 19th, and as well, inside the book comes the movie 17 Seconds, which is a we'll talk about that in a second, but it's a 53-minute movie, which is mostly covering the championship celebration, the parade, and then actually a lot of footage that I've already seen about the player, the cup going home with certain, you know, certain players. But yeah, it was, honestly, it was, I'll say this, like, it was a really nice thing for the Blackhawks to do, even though they had a dual purpose in it, which I understand. You know, they got a lot of fans in there that they were going to get to go on Twitter and say great things about them. And I don't know. That's why it was kind of funny. Like I'm sitting there, I'm like, why am I here? Cause I'm not going to go on Twitter and do those things, but I have my own thoughts of why they invited me, and I'll keep those to myself, I guess. But I mean, it was a nice thing for them to do. And, I guess I would, there were no, obviously the Blackhawks are on the road, so there was no, obviously no players. I wouldn't have expected players there anyway. Nobody from Hockey Ops was there. Danny Wirtz was there. Danny Wirtz is the guy who heads the company that now runs, or always has, Blackhawks TV. And Blackhawks TV is, and they talked about this last night during the presentation part of the night. Blackhawks TV is now branched out. They're doing work for the Chicago Cubs and Northwestern Wildcats. I think he even said the Chicago Bears, but they're branching out into different sports teams and beyond that, I think. But it's like another extension of the Blackhawks family. Banner Collective is what it's called, the name of the company, and that's Blackhawks TV. But other than that, it was Adam Kempinar, who, if fans listen to the Blackhawks Insider podcast on ChicagoBlackhawks.com, that's Adam Kempinar who hosts that, who will interview Stan Bowman and other people, Norm McIver. And then other than that, it was just most of the people that helped put the book together. I'll say this, it was a weird night in that it really, they had like beer for you, but it was Wurtz beer, and it was like obscure Wurtz beer, you know. So, but it was decent. I mean, I tried it all. Superstar, you know me. I talked to the bartender, though. Apparently, I was the only one who tipped. So I went up to him. I felt bad because maybe someone did tip him and he hit it real quickly, but I didn't see people tipping. So I threw him some money, but and then by the end of the night, we were on a first name basis, which again is not a surprise.
Yeah,
that I'm on a first name basis with a bartender.
Yeah, not a first, not a last.
But they had that, and I don't know. I had mixed feelings about the rest, the rest of it, because not to nitpick about the event, but I thought that not about the people that were there, because I again, there was reasons why I think why they picked the people that they did. I don't know why they picked me. I'll give my honest assessment. The book is fabulous. I mean, the book it's just as good as the first one. I don't know if it's better. It's about as far as quality and what you get. It's the same size. It's the same exact thing, essentially. The one thing, and maybe I'll even do I have it right here. When you open this year's book, I don't know if you open the One Goal book, there's actually a video screen and a video player in the front cover of the book. And if you power it on, there's a rechargeable lithium battery. If you power it on, it plays the tying in the game-winning goal in the game 6 in Boston. I don't know if you can hear that. So it's pretty, I mean, that's pretty cool. So they had said that they tried to put that in the first book, but they ran out of time, and this time they were adamant about it. But the book is fabulous, and obviously it's a keepsake for anybody who's a Blackhawks fan. It's a great book. The movie, I'll say this, the movie was really, really good. And there are guys in that, Blackhawk players in that movie that are, they're standout, not, I mean, unintended performances. Nicholas Jalmerson, when you see the movie, is quite the character. Joe Quenneville going back into the coach's room after the big, when he excused himself from the locker room celebration to sit down and have a slice of pizza and smoke a cigar inside the coach's room. That was a really cool. Really cool footage that they caught. And then while that's going on, you'll love this, Superstar. So while that's going on, Duncan Keith, still wearing, well, shirtless, but still wearing his skates, his hockey pants and everything, walks into the coach's room. And that same speech that he did at the parade rally about, the whole lion thing, he does that in the coach's room right then and there. But before he does that, he comes into the room and he's like, I'm almost going to say it word for word, but he's like, how about that Bix? He goes, what, and he goes, what the hell? He's saying like, where did that come from? And then Duncan Keith goes, what happened? Where was that for 3 years? It's like, it was funny. I mean, it's hysterical because when jerk-offs like me talk about how Brian Bickle was you criticize him for 3 years and then it's like he plays well for 2.5 rounds and then I mean, Brian Bickle got that contract because they felt like they couldn't let him go after that playoff, but also because Brian Bickle partly has Brandon Saad to thank for that contract too. But, that'll become apparent over the years too. But, it was a really funny moment they're very well protective of their brand. It's, and that you would expect that it's, that's, that's fine. I would, if I was them, I would do no different. But it was kind of a funny moment that's in there. You get to see Taves' reaction while Corey Crawford is on stage dropping F-bombs. That was funny. The film is fantastic, and although if you're going to buy the book and you do get the 17 seconds film, the DVD in the book, just know that the Blu-ray will contain about 2 hours extra of additional features. So you're going to have to go out and buy the Blu-ray as well if you want to see the whole DVD, because they said they had a deadline about, you know, whatever. But it was really great. But you know, the event, aside from that, it was very strange that there was a very it seemed like there was a very reluctant a lot of reluctance upon the people that were there from the Blackhawks to actually mingle with their own guests. You know, it's like Adam Kempinar came around. Like, I talked to Adam Kempinar for a little while before I left, but and he's a very nice guy. I've actually talked to Adam Kempinar a long time ago, but in person. But and he's a very nice guy. I've given him the business a few times on the show, I'm sure. But he's a nice guy. And but I guess that was, like, I don't know. When I host events, it's like, you know, you work the room. You get around, you introduce yourself, you say hi, you know, you talk to everybody. And they didn't do that. So I thought that was interesting. Not surprising, but it was just odd, you know, because it wasn't like there was anybody there. And the other thing I would say, and I was talking to someone about this today, the other thing that I would say is, you know, it was one thing for Danny Wirtz to be there, but I thought it was really for, you know, John McDonough or Jay Blunk or Chris Werner to just come in and talk to everybody for 10 minutes, because the one thing that was said, and I've sort of alluded to this in the past on the show and when talking to people, it's like, you know, the Blackhawks, and again, there were bloggers there. It wasn't just me. The Blackhawks' attitude towards that, you know, that medium, that genre of, you know, fans that go on the internet and express their thoughts and, you know, invest their time. And, you know, some of them put themselves out there and say who they are, and some of them don't. And, you know, that's another topic, but or a separate conversation. But the attitude towards those people, and sometimes even me, is really misguided, because these are some of your hard, I mean, in theory, they're the hardest of the hardcore fan. They take their Blackhawks fandom or their interest in the product to a different level, in that they invest their, beyond watching a game, beyond spending the money to go to a game, beyond buying a jersey or a program or all this other stuff, they extend into, you know, additional amounts of their free time to really support your product, because they're out there, you know, creating content that is about your product. And I always thought it was misguided that they've treated bloggers, and if you want to call them that, and I hate that term, but we'll use it because it's the term that people know. I always thought it's misguided that they kind of treat those people the way they do. And in that sense, I guess there were people that were left out of last night that probably shouldn't have been, but it was a small room. You know, I knew that was going to be the case, you know, because it was, I mean, if anybody's ever been to the Wit in the theater there, it only seats 40 people. So it's not a big room. And it wasn't just that. There were people from Wirtz Beverage there. And so it wasn't just Twitter and blogger people. But I guess those would be my sort of criticisms of it, because I have to have criticism of everything, because that's just my mentality. But I think that's valid. but they, because they were there and they said that, you know, they had said all that stuff, that you guys are some of our most ardent and passionate supporters, and we really wanted to get you, you know, you guys in here, and they said that, but then I really think that they should have come around the room and made you feel a little bit more welcome than they did. But they gave you a free book, they gave you a beer and hors d'oeuvres, and showed you the movie, and it was still an incredible offering from an organization that really has never done that. So, thumbs up to them, you know, all together for that. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody listening to this isn't going to pursue trying to get the book before they sell out. So it's not like, you know, I really got to press people on buying the book or the DVD. I think most people that are going to listen to this are going to get it. But I mean, if you need someone to help push you over the top and spending the $50 for the book, it's a steep price, but it's definitely worth it. And the movie, you know, or the Blu-ray, because you'll get the DVD with the book, but the Blu-ray, I guess the big thing that they're selling the Blu-ray on is that the entire 53-minute documentary, Adam Kempinar got Andrew Shaw and Brian Bickle to sit down and do commentary, you know, like sort of like when you buy like a Seinfeld, you know, DVD series or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know, how the characters will talk over the episodes and give their insight into the episodes. It's the same concept. It's Brian Bickle and Andrew Shaw talking over the DVD. So I'm sure people will really like that. But yeah, I mean, it was nice. You know, I skipped this year for the season ticket holders. The Blackhawks allow the season ticket holders to come in and take pictures with the Stanley Cup. I skipped that this year. I didn't go to that. I've seen the Stanley Cup before. It doesn't really do anything for me. So, but I mean, other people went my place. It wasn't like they got unused, but so it was cool to see the movie. It was nice. Aside from all my criticism, it was still nice. Aside from me being a complete dick, it was all right.
They knew what they were getting when they invited you.
Yeah, that's well. All right. Did we cover everything?
I think we did.
You know, I had a couple of people that asked me about Stephen Johns the other day, and because of something I tweeted out about Stephen Johns, people were wondering if he could still walk, if Stephen Johns could still walk away from the Blackhawks. The date, he's not from what I understand, he ain't walking away from the Blackhawks. So, was it ever a concern? Who knows? But like a real true concern. But under the new CBA, Stephen Johns can't walk away from the Blackhawks until August 16th, 2014. So, and again, is it impossible? No. I mean, it's definitely possible, but I don't think that's something that's going to happen. I think that whatever games that Stephen Johns was playing was probably he didn't want to play in Rockford. You know, he didn't want to leave Notre Dame to play at Rockford. That's sort of my impression of it. So don't worry about that. Maybe not for a little while, you know. But yeah, it's August 16th is the day. But yeah, I guess that's it.
Oh, sounds good, buddy.
And we should talk about. Okay, so last week on the show, Superstar, you and I made a bet.
Oh, God, I knew this was coming.
Yeah. So, all right. So people didn't listen to the show last week. Superstar and I went to the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana on Saturday. Just because. You know, because we're not only do we drink too much, but we also gamble too much. So we went to, before watching the Blackhawks and the Predators in an establishment in downtown Chicago, we went to the Horseshoe Casino. And Superstar, to recap the conversation, Superstar has, his claim is that I am habitually tardy, that I'm often late. I often get to things at a time that is after what is expected of me. Is that your stance on this?
That is. And I would have used perpetually because it's perpetual that you are always late.
Okay. Well, so
I don't know.
So he made a bet, which is a funny bet, that if I didn't make it, because we were taking a shuttle from the hotel that you were staying at, the Sheraton. We were taking the 1210 shuttle from the Sheraton to the Horseshoe. And his bet was that if I made it to the shuttle in time, if I was on, if really the deal was, if Chris Block was on the 1210 shuttle from the Sheraton to Hammond, Indiana, Horseshoe Casino, that Superstar was going to buy the first round of drinks. Which I love, by the way, because your idea of sacrificing or your idea of losing a bet and paying up on a bet is switching the order at which the beers are bought. I love that was your idea of all right, if I'm wrong, we'll switch the order of which the beers are bought.
Well, you could have amended the wager at any time, but
so what happened?
To my shock, it was about 11. Well, it was like a little after 11:50. I get a text from Block saying, "Hey, where are you?" And I'm in front of the hotel. Oh, I didn't see you. And then I kind of peek around the corner, and lo and behold, there's Block.
Which was funny because the cab dropped me off right in front of the hotel, and I walked in, and I never saw you. But, yeah.
Yeah, I was off to the side a little bit, but I was kind of paying attention. But I didn't see you walk in either. So you did make it, and I was more than shocked.
But then the kicker is that we get to the Horseshoe, and we walk in, and I mean, for anybody who hasn't been to the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana on a Saturday afternoon, I mean, there's a lot of government money being spent in that place. I mean, let's just call a spade. There's a lot of government money being spent in the Horseshoe on a Saturday afternoon. But it's packed. And we're walking through there. We walk by the poker room, and we're like, oh, there's a bar. So we go up to the bar, and the cutest girl that you ever see is behind the bar. She goes, what do you guys want? And then before we could say anything, she goes, would you guys like to try a $1 orange, what was it, an orange shandy? That's what she said, right?
Orange shandy. Limey's orange shandy. I believe it was limey.
But it would have to be. So she wanted $1 orange shandy. And I throw up my hands, and I like, this lucky MF-er. The first drink has got to be, like, he lost the bet, and somehow he ends up winning because the first drink, the first drinks aren't $5 a shot. The first drinks, collective $2.
Well, you know, we didn't have to try it, but, I mean, if it was anybody else, and if she wasn't as cute, we probably would have just said, yeah, let's go with, something else.
You never want to disappoint the cute bartender.
Right. So just she was pushing it.
Rule number one.
Yeah, so we tried it, and it tastes like orange juice, and then we switched it up, and you were fine.
Yeah, when it came back to me, it was my turn. It was like, Buck, what do we want to try? What do we do? We did Bell's, right?
We did Bell's Two Hearted, which is one of my favorites, and We stuck with that for a few rounds. I think we went to something else as well. One of their other microbrews. But the best part of that is when you, the part that I believe the bar was called Sixth Street.
Yeah, it was called Sixth Street. Well, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So as we're standing there, and I'm like just shaking my head. I'm like, you're such a dick, you know, like such a lucky dick that, you know, he's got to buy the first round of drinks, and of course, you know, it's like he walks into $1 beers, right? So as we're sort of like turned to each other, and I'm just shaking my head in disgust, the cute bartender goes, "You guys want bacon?" I was like, what? I looked at her, I go, what'd you say? Like, honestly, like, didn't hear, because we were, you know, bantering back and forth. And I said, what'd you say? And she goes, do you guys want bacon? And then we turned at each other and goes, we said to each other, same exact time, we go, did she just say bacon? And she goes, yeah, I said bacon. And we were like, fuck yeah, we want bacon.
But it was so, I mean, it was like, she expected us to know, you know, like, I mean, it was just so random that he bought bacon. He was like, yeah, I want a blowjob too, but, you know, what are you getting at? And finally, she's like, oh, okay. And then, lo and behold, there's bacon in front of us.
It's not the first bar that I've ever been to that's offered me bacon, but it's just, it's not normal. Like, it's not regular. Like, I don't.
No.
I mean, I've been in bars where they're like, hey, here's a cup of bacon. That bar in, in the Wisconsin Dells, that bar had lots of bacon. That bar was like a plate of bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
it was a good time. I mean, I've texted you a few times, but I want to get back already.
Is your wife still hungover?
No. She was very slow on Sunday.
She was in rough shape on Saturday night.
Yeah, we got home actually pretty early from the loop back to the burbs, and she immediately went inside and laid down and racked out for, you know, three, four hours before she came down, and then just sat on the couch, you know, all day.
But everyone
doesn't drink. You know, she doesn't drink like you and I do. She can't, can't handle it.
But everyone had a good time, I heard.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard any complaints. I got numerous texts and emails saying what a good time it was. And I think it was a success.
Excellent. Well, we'll have to do it again here soon, but beware of those Bears Blackhawks doubleheaders. Like, we would have had to have left, if we would have done it, we would have had to have left probably at the start of overtime for that Bear game.
Yeah, it was. It would have been cutting it really close.
The whole weather delay at a sporting event. Well, it was a concert. It was a Pearl Jam concert, but at Wrigley Field. I did the whole weather delay, stand on the concourse and get loaded for 2 hours while you wait for the thing to start again. I already did that.
We don't need the 2 hour delay.
All right. I am headed out of town, of course. We talked about this on last week's show. So this will be the last show until after the Thanksgiving holiday. And so probably a couple weeks before we do a show again. We're going to have to recover. We're going to have to recover from pulling off two and six. We'll see. I mean, I hope to get. Hopefully, I'll get Kyle tomorrow night in Rockford. We'll see how that happens. Give Kyle another opportunity to talk, and definitely gonna try to get Jeremy Morin and what's going on with him, what his thoughts are on the Chris Versteeg trade that directly impacted him. So I actually got to write do an Ice Hugs write up here in a little bit here when we get done. But yeah, so it'll be a couple weeks until we're back. Got some plans for guests in December, so hopefully all that turns out well. And I guess that's it, Superstar.
All right, buddy. Enjoy that sunny California.
I will. I will be smoking a lot of cigars, drinking a lot of Icelandic lager, and I'll be watching a lot of Pearl Jam. So it's going to be fun, and I'll send you some pictures.
I won't doubt that at all.
All right, everybody. TheThirdManIn.com, PuckChatter.com, BlogTalkRadio.com/TheThirdManIn. Somebody asked me the other day. They're like, "Is there an app on the phone? Like you could get on the phone for Blog Talk Radio?" And I think the answer to that question is no. When the person asked me, I was like, you know, that's a really great idea. I bet you there is one. So I went into my phone, into the Google Play Store. I can't find one. So I went on the Blog Talk Radio site, and there doesn't appear to be one. I mean, this is what we're working with here, folks. But you go on iTunes, search for The Third Man In, and subscribe there. And there's a whole lot of other ways that people have explained to me how they get to the show. They get the show, and I just don't have the attention span for that. So I'm sure there are people that could figure it out and let you know. I'm not one of them. But until we get back, everybody enjoy their holidays, Thanksgiving, and all the Blackhawk and Rockford IceHog and NHL hockey you can handle. But until then, Superstar, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. We'll talk later. Good night.
She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere.
Season. What with the litigation, the notoriety, his subsequent deportation to Canada, and that country's refusal to accept him, well, I guess that's more than most 21-year-olds could handle.
Who guilt to?
Ogie Oglethorpe!
Eddie Shore?
Oh, piss on Eddie Shore!
Old-time hockey?
Piss on old-time hockey! You're ruining it!
Johnny always says you can just screw so much and drink so much.
Whoa, baby!